Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, from abroad. Do I sound a little more Canadian? Because that's where I am. With me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing? Do you miss me?
Yeah, well, you've been gone for less than 24 hours.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
You're in Canada, and I'm here in LA because our dog is high maintenance, so...
Isn't she just?
Yeah, she's just not good.
Norm, in terms of your self-esteem, how are you feeling today on a scale of 1 to 10?
You know, this is going to shock a lot of listeners and might shock you, but I'm probably an 8.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys can hear that I just threw up in my mouth. I'm literally losing my mind right now. I cannot believe it. An 8. Norm, tell us, where is this great 8 coming from?
You know, I just got off a pretty decent work call, so that was, like, beneficial. But, you know, I got new running shoes, and they work. They're good. The shoes are good.
So, because you got shoes, you now feel good about yourself as a person.
That's right, yeah. Well, hear me out. I had these running shoes that they stopped making, okay?
Okay.
Well, they stopped making this version. I mean, we're not, you know, Brooks doesn't sponsor the podcast. Maybe it'd be great if they could.
Brooks, if you want to sponsor the podcast, please email us, selfesteemparty@gmail.com. We'd love to get you on board.
Yeah. But there was a shoe. It was the Brooks Transcend. It was the 4 or 5, okay? And they were my favorite running shoes, and they were great to run in, and I love them. And then I wore them out. And then I ordered like another pair of like Adidas, and they were garbage. So then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to get the latest Brooks. And it was like Transcend like 9 or something, or 7. And it was like, you know, these like last version of these shoes sucked. Anyway, they replaced that shoe with another shoe. They're called Glycerin GTX. Like, what are the names of these shoes? Like Adrenaline. Anyway, I just ran in them this morning the first time, and I hate to break it to you, but the shoes are very good, and I'm much faster when I have good shoes.
Norm, it doesn't sound like you hated to break that to me at all. It sounds like you couldn't wait to get that off your chest.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, other than that, you've been in Toronto for less than 24 hours.
Less than 24 hours.
You have assured me that I am allowed to sleep with whoever I want as long as I pay them.
Yes, exactly. As I said, if you need to hire somebody, you can.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm all about employment. I want people to have jobs at this time. So no free sleeping, Norm. That's rude. If you're going to sleep with somebody, toss them a couple of bucks.
So if anyone wants to have sex with me, the only obligation is that I have to pay you a sum of money. And honestly, if you're uncomfortable with the money, perhaps we can figure out where we can negotiate where you get my car for a day.
Yeah. So this is what we're going to do. If you guys want to sleep with Norm Sousa, please tweet at Self-Esteem Party, hashtag give me the car.
Sure. Or a couple bucks.
Okay. Either hashtag give me the car or hashtag a couple bucks.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm thrilled to hear that you're an 8. Is it a coincidence that it was right when I left? I don't know.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? But all I know is the second I left that house, you are off the charts, and I couldn't be happier for you, Norm. I do miss you, though. Yeah. Sure, my dad and I started drinking at 4 p.m., but that aside, it's not the same without you.
Hey, here's a question for you. Did you get your dad a bottle of rye from Duty Free?
I did not. I didn't have time. I was actually having quite a few travel issues as I was traveling.
Would you like to?
So I didn't get it.
Would you like to regale the audience with the story of you leaving your bag right inside the spot where you're not allowed to go back in?
Would absolutely love to. What had happened was it's quite an intense process to get into Canada. And I got my test. I got everything, whatever. I have only once have I taken a checked bag to Canada. That's when you and I took one to share, which is the equivalent of two carry-on bags. Yeah. So we normally just bring carry-on bags. So because I didn't have a checked bag, when I was coming out with it, just past customs, they gave me my at-home COVID test, and I stopped to put it in my bag and then kept walking without my checked bag because I put it in my backpack. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking, I'm like almost out of the airport, walking towards the train to the city, and my mom texts me going, how many bags do you have? And I realized I didn't have any bag with me but my backpack.
Right.
So I run, I mean like Home Alone, run through the airport, run.
And what's weird is Kevin is the name of the bag. So
Kevin is the name of the bag. Can you even believe me at this point in time? So I run back, and as I'm running through towards the bag, I get stopped by security, and they're like, you can't go there. And I was like, but my bag, it's right there. I left it. And I never bring a checked bag, and that's why I forgot the bag. And they were like, you can't go. And I mean, Norm, like, catastrophic amount of tears. I went nuts.
You cried.
And I'm crying, and I'm like, I have to get to my family and all this stuff. I'm crying so hard to shut me up. They brought an officer over to escort me to get my bag that I could see. Could see the bag.
But like,
and they
wouldn't
let me go get it.
Just let me have my stupid bag. Like, you can't go backwards in an airport. Like, anyway, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
I'm glad
and
you
the
got
bottom line is this. Thank you. I had two wigs in that bag. Okay. Yeah, We're talking upwards of a $13 value for the both of them. Are you going to reimburse me for that, Toronto Pearson? I don't think so.
You should have cried at the officer about your essential wigs.
I honestly should have. I got the bag. I eventually got here. Sure, I had some chicken, and then I passed out.
Okay.
And that was my life.
Well, here's the thing. You have this, who's on the episode this week, first of all?
We have a hot episode.
Because we need to figure it out. Because there's two. We have one for next week as well that we'll have to do this setup.
Yes, this week.
Again.
Yes, we will. We have my darling friend, Jacob Wysocki. And it's going to be you and I are going to be apart these next couple weeks. We're going to have to do, guys, pardon in advance if there's any audio. We're going to be doing tapings from all over. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone for. Might get a little hairy, but guess what? We will do anything we can to get you my voice. Also, I have a hot update.
Okay.
I am pleased to announce we may or may not officially have an unpaid intern. I got a message on Twitter at the Self-Esteem Party Twitter. Mm-hmm. So finally, people are taking advantage of this beautiful Twitter I have. And somebody had asked, I believe the name. I can't remember the name, and I refuse to look it up. I will shout you out next week.
You forgot the brand new intern's name.
And I told them I was going to talk about them, and I refused to remember the name. How it goes with interns.
And it's a non-paying job, clearly.
And they volunteered, They said, if you need any help. And I said, of course I do. You're already the best intern I've ever had, quite simply for reaching out. This is a good intern. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have things in mind that the intern can do, please tweet at Self-Esteem Party, # things for an intern to do. And then tell us the things for the intern to do. I'm going to come up with some great projects, and I'm taking other projects from people too.
Don't say have sex with me for money. Grow up.
Guys, do it for the car. Okay, we don't want double hashtags, just the one hashtag for a tweet, okay?
Yeah, it's an HR nightmare. It's like not how the workplace should be run.
Oh my God, that's what the intern should do. They should be HR.
Oh, the HR for the podcast.
Well, yeah, between you and I, a lot of issues.
That's for sure, yeah.
In terms of intimacy in the workplace, guys, we have consensual sex. I'm very excited for this week's episode. We got into it about friends, Jacob and I. We had a big talk about friends. So that's right. The theme of this week's episode is friendship. And it was so nice to see him and chat with him. I mean, my God, like I say this every week, it's been too long. Hello.
Yeah.
So in the episode with Jacob, guys, a bit of a heads up. I'm not my best self. I've been a bit down in the dumps. And it does come out in the episode. So don't freak out, everybody.
You gave your score and it was low.
I don't remember if I gave my score. If I had to give it now, honest to God, everybody, we're talking a two. Yeah. And that's at best. It's a two.
We've switched roles almost.
We have, because we both don't deserve to feel good at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Norm, I'm happy you're cruising. Okay. One of us has to go up if one of us is going down. We got to have somebody keeping it real in the house.
Yeah, it's the old teeter-totter effect.
And I couldn't agree more. Shall we get to it? What do you say?
Yeah, I think we should.
I think we should too. Ladies and gentlemen, I already said his name, but I can't say it enough because I quite simply love him. Please welcome Jacob Wysocki right after this break. It's a self-esteem party.
It's a self-esteem party. Jacob, we did it. We made it to the big podcast. We're here.
We finally arrived. Did you pay for valet?
I paid for vala.
Did you street park?
I didn't vala.
Dang, I went for the valet. They said it was going to be $7 with validation.
Excuse you, I don't validate. No, that's what this whole podcast is, validation.
Oh, wow.
And speaking of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling in terms of your self-esteem?
Wasting no time.
Wasting no time so I can validate your feelings.
Yeah. You don't have a scale for time, right?
Let's do a scale for time. Let's do it.
I feel like it's hard to quantify over like a long stream.
Well,
you know?
That's what I like to ask today, recently, perhaps the last year, like, because I know it's been such a transition for everybody. So why don't you tell me today, and then why don't you tell
today,
me of the last while?
Today, scale 1 to 10 self-esteem. It's honestly feeling good because I did a lot of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
I knocked off a lot of stuff that is ultimately going to be good for me in the long run. So I'm going to say like an 8.5.
Oh my God, great.
You know, I went to the grocery store.
Yes.
I did my yoga.
Yeah.
You know, I did my journaling. I rode my bike here.
Excuse
I'm just going to brag a bit. Sorry.
Vroom, vroom.
So, yeah, I feel like I did a lot of like good things today. That makes me feel like, yeah, you care about yourself and you're trying.
I feel like a sense, and I talk about this all the time on the podcast, a sense of accomplishment gives me a sense of self-esteem because I'm like, oh, I can finish something I set out to do. I'm good.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know. It was a very, were you ever told to like make a list as a kid?
Of course. See, I have like 100 lists.
Yeah. I was a list kid as well. And there is genuinely something about like, even if it's a 2-thing list, to make the list and be like 1, 2, and it will feel better on a list than it does if it's just in my head being like, oh, I just need to go to Target and I need to get my oil changed.
You were on my list. You were the last thing on the list today. And how satisfying to get it done.
Yeah.
Like now the night's mine and I don't feel guilty. If I want to kick back and relax, I'm not going to feel bad.
You've completely earned it.
Yeah.
And you have like empirical evidence of check marks and stuff like that.
Exactly. And it's like, I'll say this. Not everybody has to work this way. You don't have to feel bad if you don't get stuff done. It's just for me, I've really tied in efficiency to self-esteem because I like to challenge myself and what I'm capable of. And I feel like not the more that I can do, but rather with more ease that I can get things done and not get so stressed out shows a lot of growth for me. And then that makes me feel good because before, if you had too much to do and then you were stressed out, it didn't feel good to accomplish it. It was like, what's next? What's next?
It's overbearing. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, and I'll say a lot of this is probably because of the pandemic. It's like, because we had so little to do. Yeah. We call it a pandemic here.
Okay, cool.
We had
it's
so
nice
little
to hear what
to
everybody's
do.
Cute
well, it's just
name
fun.
For
everybody's
it,
being fun about it. But because we had so little to do, now I have a few things to do. I feel 1,000 times better, even if it's just like 3 things, because I'm like, oh my God, these are 3 things I didn't have a month ago.
Yes, and it feels good, and I feel like I have, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's necessarily good to do this, but you assign worth to it.
Yes.
It's sort of like a bad capital, like runoff of capitalism, where it's like to be busy is to be worthy.
Yes.
But like we do live in that world, so yeah, like you do have to do things to exist, and you have to create foundational little activities. Do you feel like... the more you do it, the more you can compartmentalize these tasks and you're used to doing multiple tasks a day. So when it is like not a day of errands, but it's like 2 big tasks that seem big, like your brain gets better at learning how to break it down. And be like, so this one audition that's like, you know, 3 sides or whatever, it's like you look at it, it's 12 pages. You're like, how the fuck am I going to do that?
Yeah.
But then you like break it down the same way I break down like the tasks that I'm doing throughout the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've taught myself to like, no, you can slow it all down and make it more obtainable.
Do you know what I won't speak for you, but tell me what you think about this, because you said journaling, right? Mm-hmm. Which is something that I'm a big supporter of.
It's new for me.
I love it. I journal every day, but I feel like the journaling has helped me with that exact skill of breaking things down, because when I journal, I'm literally breaking down my thoughts into like, this is how I'm feeling about this category and this category and this category. And then by the end, I feel like I got all that crap out. Then I can start my day. Like, I cannot start my day until I've journaled with my coffee. And like, it literally has to clear my head to then do those tasks. So it's like, you know, we're talking about getting a bunch done and tying that in with worth, but journaling counts. So self-care counts.
Yeah, I do. It has to count.
Yeah.
You have to make it count, and you almost have to prioritize it. I try and prioritize it so I'm not existing in like that capitalistic void, right? It's like, no, like, of course, it's like getting groceries, that's spending money, that's participating or whatever. But it's like, no, if I do it the right way, it's about me. It's about like giving myself
nourishment. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And
so, ooh, haha, I knocked. Ooh. I knocked the pop screen. It's getting a little wild. Everybody slow down.
Yeah, quit trashing my equipment.
Not to jump the rails too much, but what do you do when you like do the routine?
Mm-hmm.
This is something I struggle with. You do the routine, you do the journaling, you do your list, but you don't get the dopamine.
Right.
Or, you know, you're in a slump, you're in a hole.
Yeah.
And you're trying your fucking best, but you're still like, oh, this sucks. Today's bad. Like, here's the existential dread, bada, bada, bada. Like, some days it doesn't work and you still have to do it.
Yeah, I there's a few things that I do. One, if there's something I can move to the next day, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Something where I'm like, really cannot get this done today. Two, I go to bed early. I literally have to end the day if I can't bear it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like a midday thing that's happening, sometimes I just have to turn on the TV to stop thinking my own thoughts.
Sure.
And focus on somebody else's.
Yeah.
Because the sitting in it, and I believe we need to sit with our emotions. But when it's only negativity and I'm the one that's telling myself that narrative, I actually don't find that to be healthy, because I'm not processing anything. I'm just talking about how bad it is. And
yeah, you're beating yourself up.
I'm beating myself
up.
It's
a secular, yeah.
Yeah, because I already talked about it in the journaling.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like continuing to say it in my head and to myself and whatever else. And I'm like, well, you already did it. The rest of this is just excess. And it's what I don't need. So yeah, I guess like distraction.
Yeah.
And then just going to bed and calling it. I mean, what about you?
I just feel like, yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes, well, usually it's like you do the bad habits. You're like, oh, well, all the good stuff doesn't work. So
like party.
Yeah. Drugs, party, disassociating, like, you know, eating too much like bad food, just like anything, or foregoing, just being like, I don't want to do it today, so I'm not going to fucking do it. And then you know, all the therapy talk and all the like positivity talks, like, well, you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't do that. And sometimes I just like truly will take the L.
Yeah.
I'll just like succumb to the big D, aka depression.
Yep.
And I'll just like sit in it. And usually it's like you're describing. It's a lot of cyclical thinking. It's a lot of like negative thoughts that are not like Buddhist or Zen or like enlightened. I'm never going to reach a point where I'm like, God, I'm so glad I thought about that all day. You know?
No, dude.
It's never that. And sometimes I get into an argument with myself of like, well, maybe I need to go through these cycles like a fish, like pushing pebbles out of its gills as it's like looking for more algae, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to come across the same rocks until I find this like thing that I haven't found, or this like moment that I haven't looked at intensely.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Where it does.
Like, maybe I have to like hit the same couple thoughts so I can find the new thought where I'm like, oh, this is actually this is helpful for me to think about, and I haven't looked at this part of myself, or I haven't had this realization. But I guess normally those just pop up on their own. You're not like fucking looking for it. You're like, fix me.
When I'm looking, I'm not finding.
No.
It's like, I can, like, I've been actively working to feel more positive starting from in the morning, 'cause I'm most negative in the morning.
Okay.
Because like you said, if you're in the wrong headspace, then you're like, oh my God, how the fuck am I going to do all this shit? Mm. When you have that list.
Yeah.
And other days, your list saves you where you go, oh my God, great, I have things to do. Right?
Yes.
So on those days where I'm struggling with the list and don't want to do it, I'm actively working to stay more positive. But it's like, I'm working. I'm not necessarily accomplishing. And it's still negative. Like today was a real runaround day, mm-hmm. which is like, a treat, you know what I mean, to be like, oh my God, great, fun things to do, this and that. But I've been in a bit of a negative headspace all day and felt really discouraged.
Uh-huh.
So it's like one of my ways of like fighting through it was doing this podcast, right? Yeah. Like
you're taking some control.
It would have been so easy to cancel. But then I was like, well, you journaled and that didn't really help. You had your thoughts like while I was driving, thinking some things and that didn't really help. So maybe do something different and bring in somebody new and just talk to somebody else other than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure that exhaust is helpful, like, because you're just like, let's get it out. I can talk about it. We can get into something.
Couldn't
about
agree
it.
More. Yeah.
But I have been having a lot to do that I don't want to do, but I need to do.
Right.
And this was the exception.
Oh. You know,
this was like, oh, cool. I get to do something that's like fun with my friend and it's on the books and I'm stoked about it.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing. And that's like, that's what it is. It's ownership. I want to do this thing. If I can just get through all this other bullshit, I get to do the one thing that I want to do.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's like I was so excited to talk to you. So if I had canceled, which I've done in the past, I don't like
life
canceling.
Happens.
Life happens. But if I had canceled, I would have been miserable the rest of the night.
Sure.
Because I would have been like, what the fuck? I should have just done it. Atlanta, you're a loser. You can't do anything. You don't keep your word, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But then it's like, push through, have you here. And it's like, I can already tell you I'm going to leave this recording feeling way better.
She's beaming.
She's you on guys fire. Gotta see me. I'm sweating. I'm literally on fire. My hair is so dry. okay.
So, I didn't know. It's funny. I didn't know you were a list person, you know, and we've worked together in some pretty intimate ways where
we
it's
have
like
for years,
you'd assume that I would have seen one of your lists.
I have
by
a
now.
Daily to-do list. Uh-huh. I have a weekly to-do, a monthly and a long-term to-do.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I'm not like that at all. I'm a baby. Like I fought my therapist on a list.
Oh,
like,
really?
That's fucking lame, bro. I'm not a loser. Like, I don't want to be a part of some like monotonous cog of having to do these things. Like, I want to wake up. I want to be inspired. I want to like take that inspiration somewhere and then like eat a bad dinner.
I just want to make great art and then eat a poor dinner at the end of the day to top it off.
But ultimately I learned that I just wanted to reserve decision making. So I just do that at a different point in time. So I like make my decisions at a certain time that is not competing with the creative space. And then I leave space for that, if that makes sense.
This is yes, it makes like, nothing but sense. This is genius.
Dude, I like on Sundays, I know what I'm going to eat for the whole week.
Right.
You know, like some days you deviate or whatever, but it's like I've made the decision.
Yeah.
And I don't have to spend any time thinking about that. I don't have to spend any time being like, well, I don't have the ingredients or like I only have a couple things. Like I've just been really trying to shave off decision making.
Yeah.
So when it's time to actually make good decisions, the brain power is all there.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why, sure, I hate her guts, but I love my dog because she forces me out of bed at the same time every day, usually 6:30. It can vary.
Yeah.
But I have a reason to get up. So I don't have to negotiate with myself, which I used to do of like, well, I have this at this time, so I'll sleep till it, like, it's like,
leisurely,
that's what I mean. And I'm like, because I don't have that, it's like, I don't have that luxury. And it's, I prefer the morning shift. I told Norm, give me the morning shift because I have to get out of bed. So I never have to decide for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has decided for me.
That's powerful.
And that's, hey man, the when to get up is a massive decision.
Totally.
Because the difference of if you get up at 8 versus if you get up at noon, you're going to feel
huge.
Completely different.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you this, one of them might make you feel bad.
Oh, really?
8 a.m.
I couldn't imagine.
Sleep till noon, always.
But
so,
there's a part of me that glorifies that, like, a little bit. There's of that lifestyle of, like,
I lived
that lifestyle for a long time, where it's like, I fucking get up at noon, dude. Like, I go to bed at 3. Like, that's just, sorry, I was out late doing a show. Like,
yeah.
I had to chop it up with my guys after, like,
but if you
a part
do it
me,
all the time, it's not so special. So now
true.
If I do stay up late or get to sleep in, it's like a treat.
Yeah. That's very true.
Because it's not like Norm's a late night person for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. he doesn't sleep till noon, but he's a late night person, which is fine if you go do your stuff the next day. Stay up as late as you want. You might be tired, but if you can get through the day.
Drink as many beers as you want.
If drink you the just... beers. If you got to drink the beers. This is, Norm's going to use this against me. Oh. Well, Alana, you said you drink said, the beers.
You said as long as I get up and do my shit.
I can drink all the beers. Okay, you said that you had felt eight and a half today, but yeah. what about the longer timeline?
Where are we bad. At? It's bad. Yeah. It's like a three, you know? Dude. And it's simply like, it's sometimes I think it's very silly, but it's just having lost live performing.
I can't, I'm dying.
You would understand.
I'm dying, dude.
Yeah. I think we get the juice in the same way, and I think we use the juice in the same way. And
yeah, for like, confidence and worth and all that important stuff. Yeah, dude.
I mean, it's the like my self-esteem starting from, I don't know, 14 years old, like fully derivative off of making an audience laugh.
Totally.
And I've done that since I was that age, regularly and then professionally, up until the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first time that I was never, ever actively doing comedy weekly or performing weekly. Like, it completely destroyed my identity.
I mean, this is the whole point of the podcast. Like when we're talking about validation, mm-hmm. it's like half of why I need this is because it's now my show. This is like, yes. I don't have a live show. This is now has to become what the show is.
It's where you're getting the juice. You're putting the juice out.
Hey man, I'm going to say this to the listeners, to the people that reach out and give feedback or rate on iTunes or whatever. It means a lot to me. It really does, because we used to be able to command 100 people a night, no problem. And now we have no one.
And the worst problem is like you, and I'll go ahead and say me, good at it. Really good
yes,
at it.
Yes, of so, course you. That's why you're on as a guest.
But so that's like the bigger kicker where it's like, it's not just a hobby for us. It was like a career and a passion. And to have that removed.
An income.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally. I mean, listen, I'm sucking on the government's teat. You see all these signs? They're like, nobody wants to work because everybody's getting paid. That's me, that's baby. I'm like a little suckling.
I'm sucking on Norm's teat, and it's just beer coming out. Honestly, guys, still got it. She's Jacob in. And I still She's got in. It.
When it started and things got started taking away, I'm sure it took you a moment to get to the, like, I'll just really sink into the podcast. Did you try?
I stopped doing the podcast for 3 months.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Did you try to fill the performance void with something else?
No.
It was just, done. Why not?
Too stressed out and thought we were all going to die.
So you went the Couldn't anxiety Couldn't do
it. Route. I went the anxiety route. Yeah. Couldn't. I was so scared for everyone.
And it was just so, all of us. Like, the panic and the situation was so
I couldn't
grave.
Laugh.
Yeah.
And it felt wrong to try to make others Ooh. Laugh. But that is when the podcast, when we came back, that's when the podcast really shifted for me. Before it was like shooting the shit with friends, which it still is, obviously. After we took that break and then came back, it became more real and vulnerable for me. And I started opening up more than I used to, because I would focus more before about trying to be funny and this and that. And, I got to build my audience and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, no, the audience wants to hear that you feel emotions and they're not always good, because now the world is united of not feeling good for a pretty long amount of time.
We were given permission to feel bad.
For once, like, Jesus fucking Christ, without having to call it depression, like, we were able to just be like, this is what it is for all of us. Like, why did it always have to be labeled as like a mental health struggle, which of course is alive and well, and I'm the advocate of it. Hello. Yeah. But it's like, can we not just like feel bad without it having to like define us?
Well, it's tough. It's tough when I feel sad and I express that I'm sad, and people are like, well, you're not, I never expected you to be a sad guy. Or like,
I see you know right through you. You're look. It's looking in a mirror. Of course.
Yeah. I know. We have to know the sadness to make people to have your life's work to make people happy. It's probably because you're extremely sad.
I just read. Wait, I have to bring it up on my phone. There's a Robin Williams quote.
Oh boy.
That I wanted to share on the podcast. Okay, here's a Robin Williams quote. I think.
Can you do it as Robin? Or is it going to take away from the sentiment?
I'm going to do it as Robin doing an impression of me. I think the saddest people always try their hardest to make people happy because they know what it feels like. Sorry, because they know what it's like to feel absolutely worthless and they don't want anyone else to feel like that.
Sheesh.
I cried when I saw that.
Yeah, that somebody puts a lump in your throat.
Somebody had posted, I believe, on Twitter or something. I mean, it's been posted a lot of times. And yeah, I got really upset because I was like, I mean, I was such a big, and am, big Robin Williams fan. And I know how much struggle he had. And it really got to me because I was like, all of a sudden, being happy and talking with others and trying to be a good person and a good friend felt so heavy and like a big responsibility. And I was like, oh my God, is this what I've been doing the whole time? And it like really opened my eyes and made me realize like I might be taking on too much and maybe that's contributing to my sadness and feeling down.
It's tough when happiness, like what you described, like happiness becoming a burden. What a terrible position to be in.
It's a realization as of late that I think I'm taking on so much of other people's things to distract myself from my things that I've completely swept myself aside.
Oh,
and then, you know what I mean? And then I stop and I think for a second about all the stuff that's going on. And I'm like, oh, Elena, you've been so mean to yourself. You don't acknowledge how you're feeling and that might be hard.
Well, why would you if it's sad?
That's my exact fucking thinking as well.
And of course I want to think about my friend's breakup. Of course I want to think about like what's going on with my family's health, because if I sit around and think about me, it's not.
Or the things happening in and around you or like whatever. And it's very like, it is really hard. It's so much easier to invest in you and what's up with you. Because one, I want to. I love my friends. Mm-hmm. I love my friends so much. So one, I want to do it. Two, I want to be a good person. But it's like, I'm trying to be a good person because you know how everyone's like, treat people the way you want to be treated. My friends are so great and I'm not accepting any of it. It's like, I have a hard time turning to other people because I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a burden. And then I'm like, Elena, it's a two-way street. Yeah. What the fuck are you doing? But like, do you have that at all? Like, what is your role in your friendships with other people versus how you're treating yourself, or what are you doing for yourself versus what you do for others?
I mean, I think my immediate core social structure always refers to me as, and I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy. I don't like quite understand what it means, but they always call me the Gandalf. Which I think is like ultimately a lot of responsibility.
Yeah,
and I think
The responsibility.
Yeah, and I think my friends can all take care of themselves and are adults. But I think a lot of people look to me to do the stuff that's hard. Like, hey, this is a difficult chat that we need to have with somebody. Like, can you handle it? There's a lot. I feel like sometimes I have like a bit of social responsibility to kind of like, my friends will call it like, can you throw the hammer? Where it's like, you just need somebody to go be like honest and. Strong enough with themselves to be like, hey, I can tell you bad news, or we can have a difficult conversation. Yeah.
It's because you're so likable, Jacob.
Thank you.
It's honestly, like, I love you so much. And if I were to get bad news from anyone or somebody having to give me a criticism, I would take it from you because
that's nice.
you don't have a bad fucking bone in your body.
Thank you. I try and do all of those things with like compassion and love, and it's hard. I don't know. That's not a position I want to be in. Like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, you're having a bad time at the hang. Like, well, let me try and remedy it. Or like, I'm going to be the one that hears that you're not having a good time or that you're unhappy with what's going on. And it's like, well, there's only so much I can do with your personal happiness.
I know.
You know, if it's like, well, there's no chips. Like, I can get you a fucking bag of chips. But like, if you're just anxious or uncomfortable with the situation, like, I can't change your perspective. I can only offer.
Oh my God, leave.
Yeah.
This is what I do. That's another coping mechanism. I leave. Mm-hmm. Remove yourself from the situation that's making you feel bad. If you have that luxury, it's a luxury to get out of a bad situation because a lot of times you can't.
And the people who have true bad situations are truly bad because they can't get out of them.
Exactly.
And most of the situations, like I would say, like pretty privileged people, like my peers and contemporaries are, we're all pretty, like I'd say a majority of us, if you're doing UCB, there's like a
luxury.
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to generalize, and I certainly don't want to generalize, but I have to assume like You're not in the fucking pits. You're not you're not living like a third world existence or something like that. And that shit you can't get out of. No. But a lot of these people that are not in that experience, it's all in their head. They're just like, today sucks because you decided that today sucked. Right. And there are days where as much as you decide that it doesn't, it's going to fucking reek ass.
Yeah.
And it's going to suck. But you have that ability to try and change it.
I wonder if you know, you'll hear somebody else's problems and you're like, what the fuck? That's nothing. Right? But I wonder what people think of about that with me. Like, I wonder what I say. Don't you always wonder that where you're like, what am I saying that somebody's like, Alana, what the fuck are you talking about? I always wonder. And sometimes I think that's why I'm a little on the quieter side or keep things a little close to the chest, because I'm telling myself the problems don't mean anything, but I've said it so many times that now I'm confused about what should I talk about and what is a waste of somebody's time.
Yeah, I mean, we have to accept data. Like, when you're exchanging data between friends, you want to try and exchange it, like, judgment-free. And I just...
Of course.
I always try and run the empathy where it's like, okay, so that's not a problem to me. Like, the problem you're experiencing, like, you not knowing where to go on vacation is, like... Sure, that's very stressful for a type of person. It's just not a problem to me.
Yeah.
And it's not a discussion I need to have, because it's just like, yeah, man, it's going to be cool wherever you decide to go or whatever it is. But you also have to try and be empathetic and be like, so that's their little world, right?
That's
their little world. And most people don't try and think outside of their little world. So you just have to be like, okay, so I'm this person. I'm in their little world. Yeah, it would be frustrating if this was my circumstances and I haven't been able to travel in a year and I want to have the best vacation. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, your little world, that's tough. I think you and I have similar probably gripes and issues, which is like with ourselves, because we're, I don't know. I feel like I know you well enough where it's like, yeah, we want people to like us. We want to be funny.
We're a lot alike.
Yeah.
But sensitive too. Like, you are
children, babies.
Yeah.
Little and it's, tiny angels.
Sucking on Norm's beer teats.
I feel like I kind of lost my thought a little bit, my train of thought, but I think it's important to know that your problems are just as valid as all of the other silly problems that you hear or that feel silly. They're so valid because it's your little world, and your little world is so valid and so real. And it's not fair, because the nuances of just this universe, to be like, well, people have it worse.
I know.
You know, it's not fair.
I know.
To us, because we have to deal with our mental health and our little world. And we can still acknowledge those things. They can be like, they can be the same, but they can be separate, but they can be the same.
Okay, but so here's my question. So I do agree everybody's problems are valid because it's what it means to them, right? But if I don't consider that to be a problem, or if it's something that I'm like, you know, I don't care to talk about this, how do you broach that conversation? Do you not have it? Like, I find sometimes I'm like keeping my mouth shut to be like, well, it's okay, they're allowed to feel that way. But I'm like, but wait, why do I have to be the person that it gets dumped on? Like,
yeah.
Then it's like so much dumping on me that I'm like, now my whole life is just your problems. What the fuck? Who's addressing mine? Who's...
Well, like, you hope it's reciprocal.
What's the game plan?
Yeah.
But it's not, what I mean?
Usually it's not.
It's not reciprocal, and that's on me. That's not on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I don't want to share, because I'm so overwhelmed with what's come my way that I'm like, well, I'm not going to participate in this and put it back on other people.
Yes. Because but maybe you're the type of person who receives it a lot heavier than a person, than other people.
It's because I don't like seeing people upset.
Yeah.
It really bums me out. And then I feel like I failed them because
you're
I couldn't make them feel better.
Across the board.
I if it's going to hurt somebody's feelings, I don't like hurting feelings. I really struggle with it. But sometimes my feelings get hurt because of my own silence. And sometimes I don't think people realize.
I don't know. Not to be like too self-love guru, but isn't that the worst feeling to hurt is your own?
It's Jacob.
We do it all the time, but we should recognize that that's the worst person's
feeling. I'm being so bad to myself.
Yeah.
It's like everything is just taking on other shit, ignoring mine, and then using vices at the end of the day to fucking get through it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like,
sheesh.
I didn't, but that's, That's a lot of people for starters, yeah. Especially performers, because mm-hmm. we love to please and we want to be liked. But I also feel like it's just because my stuff feels really depressing right now, that it feels like it's too heavy for me to deal with. So I'd much rather deal with other people's problems. Sure. Yeah. That's what I think is actually happening.
What's like a recharge day? Like, what's a day? Like, do you take a day where you're like, I'm not taking in anybody's data?
I don't call anyone back or text anybody.
Yeah. That's what else only are you way. Doing? Are you glued to the TV? Are you like, setting yourself up? With like
working out.
Okay.
Because that's only for me. Mm-hmm. The morning journaling, walking with Mia, but I don't like daytime TV as much,
yeah.
Because it makes me feel like guilty. But if I do something for my future, that is me being like, focus on you, Alana. So whether that's financial, work, whatever, you know what I mean? Or like personal, yeah. or something like that. But that would be a recharge day, is something that's,
and you're like just cutting off communication.
I have to fully cut it off.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way.
Well, you don't want to be making those decisions for other people, right? Like, they're not necessarily decisions. I just don't have to be.
Yeah. I'm not in the right place, and I don't want to snap at somebody.
Oh, for sure.
I'm just not. And this happens to everybody. So it's not like it's just you and me or something. But it just puts everything in a really tricky position. And now with everything that's happened and is still happening, everything's so heightened and so intense.
Yeah.
And everyone that didn't have problems or really big problems now does. We all do. So I'm like, I've just been feeling really weak lately, because I'm like, I am not strong enough to take this on, and I don't know how to express that.
Sure, but you are. Like, the failure. Thing is that you are strong enough to do it. I don't think.
Oh, it doesn't feel like.
I know it's never gonna feel like it. It's really never gonna feel like it. But I truly believe, and this is like the most hippie that I'll ever get, the universe will never present you with something that you're not capable of dealing with. I think that's the only way that this universe is fair, because it's not fair. It's completely random.
Well, the universe seems to think I'm strong as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's annoying.
I mean, it's super annoying. I'm sorry that you're
like,
annoyed.
I'm annoyed by it. I'm annoyed that I'm like, I'm so fucking sick of having to get up, get my shit together, keep going, blah, blah, blah. I just want to like go on social media and go, I've maxed.
Nah.
Yeah, peace and grease. Yeah. Your girl's broken. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Never arrive again. You know what I mean?
she's actually never showing up to another red carpet. She is peace and grease.
She actually has some red carpets in her house. So she is kind of still on the red carpet, but it's just kind of in a different place.
You have to come to her.
You have to come to me. If you guys want to see me on the red carpet, come to my house. DM me for my address. Like I said, I appreciate when you guys reach out, and you will be rewarded.
You just get people outside of your window.
Taking like paparazzo, yeah, taking
please,
my photo.
Please, we'd love to see you. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like even right now in this moment, this is me jumping on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, as we're speaking, I'm feeling bad.
Oh, I love it. I love it, because I have my own problems that I don't want to think about. So this is great for me.
Yes, but is this unhealthy for us? Is this unhealthy to go back and forth like this?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Are we enabling each other? Possibly.
It's just, you're so comforting.
But what's nice, what's nice is like, I'm not going to think about all the bad shit that I want to think for an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's fucking rad.
Yeah.
That's great. Or I know that I can, if I wanted to talk about it, I could talk about it freely and feel safe.
But
you're not dumping. It's hard, and it sucks to feel like you have to recharge. It sucks to be like, oh, I need a day to myself, because you'd love an existence that's more neutral.
Yeah.
Like a more neutral day to day.
A balance.
I don't know. I'm trying very hard to create boundaries and like create that sort of balance as much as you can. But at a certain point, I love my friends and I'll help them.
Yeah, no.
If they need the help. Or and like, I'll go out of my way and do that thing.
Oh my God, I'd be so lonely. My friends are so entertaining. Mm-hmm. I would be so bored.
Yeah. My life would
truly be so bored. Bless all of you that are listening. One, thanks for listening. Look how good of friends you are. And two, you're like the center for me. It's like everybody makes me laugh so hard. I really can't thank everybody enough.
Hey, thanks for being out there. Yeah, they're you know, the same way that that I feel like I know it's reciprocal is with those buddies. So I never feel like I know at the end of the day, like I will see the dividend returned somehow. Yeah. So I think that's also part of it too, where it's like, as tough as it is, like I know that like as silly as it is to have to hear about so-and-so's breakup for the eighth time and they're still hurt. And in my mind, I'm like, dude, she's awful. Get over it.
Yeah.
I know that like I'll be in a position where they're going to be like, I'm so tired of hearing about this chick from me, but they'll deal with it, you know, and they'll take it in, or at least I hope. And they have in the past. And people that don't return the dividend, I've cut out. I've
made a few cuts.
I've had to. You have to.
It was hard too. It's especially with like some, because some female, well, any kind of friendship, but I have found with female friends they can get quite intense.
The female friend to friend dynamic is one of the most interesting things that I've ever had. Like I have the pleasure of being friends with a lot of women.
Yes, it's
who
true.
Have a lot of friends that are women, and you get to hear what goes on, and it is so different.
I mean, it's a lot.
Not to be like the man show over here.
This is the man
women
show.
Women are different.
Yeah. The difference between men and women is one sucks.
Have you ever thought about how broads are different than dudes? Many apologies.
What would you do if this is the only part we aired and my listeners like my listeners tripled? Everyone was like, finally.
Can we get this guy on more? He's finally saying it like it is.
Yeah, saying it like it is.
The dynamic is a lot different.
It is.
And I think that's probably just based on like societal expectations. No fault of anybody. It's just like the way people have been told to be friends and like how friendships is supposed to work in this society.
And then trying to end one is really hard without hurting someone, but it's hurting you to stay in it. Like some of them... People will say like a toxic relationship. Some friendships are abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Some friends are like make you feel bad and you don't even realize it because it weighs down, or it's like they're so busy pushing themselves up and they're like without even knowing it putting you down. Nor
that chaos
for them to feel
is attractive to people who want to avoid what's going on in their own life.
Right.
It's super attractive. Chaos is extremely attractive to somebody who wants to like disassociate from their own issues.
Do you feel chaotic?
Do I feel chaotic?
Or did you ever?
That's a great question.
Thanks.
Yeah. I feel, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm like in my head, I feel like there's more chaotic than I am in my like waking life. You know, I feel like there's a lot of push and pull, and there's a lot of like, well, is this the right way to live? Is this the right way to live? And sometimes I have some thoughts that are like super different, where part of me is like fucking like, peace and love, and like love is the only way to get us out. And then there's this other part of me that's like, no, I really think we need to eat the rich. Like, I think we need to like kill them and eat them, and like that's it.
Yeah.
And those are very different things.
Yeah.
And like when you try to like build a life philosophy for who you are and how you want to interact with the universe, those are two very different things. And so it creates a lot of chaotic pull. But as a person, I feel very like, I feel pretty neutral and sure of myself. So I guess like that chaos eventually gets funneled out into me as like a middle ground guy.
Yeah. I wonder if you'll relate with this. I like to call it controlled chaos.
Okay.
So the chaos exists. I can't help what pops into my head, but I can control the filter. So for example,
and how it's perceived is, yeah.
Well, say I'm mad at somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm sick of this and I'm done. And this is all going on in my head. I can control whether I say that to them.
Yeah.
Or removing myself from the situation temporarily until I can calm down. That's control.
Yes.
The chaos still exists. It's simultaneous. Mm-hmm. It's just, what am I going to do with it? And that's what I feel like.
I love that. I love that. I'm going to steal it. Because that's
it's yours, my gift to you.
Thank you. Because that's what it, I mean. Everything is chaotic. I said it earlier. Like the universe is chaos. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no like sequence of numbers that makes sense. It's just show up, get fucked.
I mean, literally, you know? It's just there. It's all just there.
So the only way that you can any way, in my opinion, like face that reality is to be like, well, how do I choose to look at that?
Right.
And how am I going to funnel that? But that's, I don't know. I don't think I could do that at 22. I don't think I would be able to like think about a breakup and be like, well, how am I going to choose to rise
above this?
How am I going to grow? Like, what is this going to make me feel about my future partners or anything like that? No, it's just, I'm 22 and I'm heartbroken and that's it.
I'll tell you this. I had my ex-boyfriend on this past week, and we definitely got into, you know, when we were together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then how we've grown and changed since. And, it was amazing because you're like, yeah, when you're in it and you're younger, it is all that chaos. It is a million and one thoughts. You don't have the logic to be like, okay, this is the lesson I'm going to learn and I will apply it in this way. It's just
impossible.
Some time passes and the next thing you know, you're different, or somebody tells you you're different. Someone's like, oh yeah, this. And you're like, oh yeah, I didn't even realize that.
Or earth shattering.
I don't storm out of rooms anymore. I storm into them to make an entrance.
Hello.
I walk in and I go, fire. So everyone runs towards me.
Yes, yes, yes. And then I block the
door. Yeah, but I block the door so no one can get out. Then we're chatting. Then everybody's here.
And then you're holding court. And that's what you love. You love to hold court.
Honestly, I gotta get into a court. Don't you think I'd be a great judge? No. Guys, come on. Let's be reasonable. So. Oh, you don't think I have what it takes?
No, I think you'd be like...
Is this the tough conversation somebody sent you to have with me?
Yeah. You would be a bad judge. And it's because you'd want everybody to be happy, but that's impossible.
Of course. That's all Judge Judy wants.
Everybody to be happy?
Yes, no, Jacob.
I think she wants that, what is it, 7 million an app or whatever?
No.
It's
great. No.
She makes she's the highest paid female in television, I believe. She might be the highest paid. And that's on the cuff. That's, you know what that is? That's 15 years of improv training right there.
Yeah. Me singing the McDonald's theme song. So glad I dropped all those bucks on classes. Jesus.
How long until we perform live? You know, that's what I'm trying to crack.
Here's the thing.
Because we want the juice.
Stand-ups are back because it's one person and a mic.
I wish everybody could have seen my eye roll. Yeah, stand-ups are back.
Massive. But what are you going to do when you have a group of, you know, 8 people in plaid?
It doesn't work.
What are you going to do?
It doesn't work.
Where do you put them? How do people feel safe? We're
backyard's
all close to each other. Yeah. You can't have a microphone. Mm-mm. What do you do? And do I even want to, like, want to perform. No, but I think I want to perform alone because it's controlled. It's so much easier. And I think with the big groups, it's like so much of that was organized for us.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, how do I start that? Like, where do we even go? Where do we go?
I don't know. And I don't have it with my current, like, psyche. I don't have it in me to start it.
Oh my God.
I've never been one to start. I've always been one to enhance once it has existed.
I love cruising in, making it better, taking all the claim and then leaving.
Totally. I mean,
I love it.
That's the best way to do it. I've never really, have you ever had that gumption of like, let's start it?
No.
It's too weird.
I'm a cruise in, cruise out.
Yeah.
I love going into somewhere established. It's like a game. How quickly can I rise up? It's a game.
Yeah. Well, and you got to be good at it. You know,
I've just moved so many times. I had to restart. Yeah. Like LA was my third time restarting somewhere. Yeah.
It's tough.
I love it.
Because I'm lucky. I'm from here, and I have friends that were true. That I met outside of the industry or whatever. So I have that
I have
built
one.
In. I won. Who? They're like a non-industry friend that like you knew from childhood that also lives in
LA. No, I met an Uber driver 3 weeks ago and we got coffee and she's nice.
Is this real?
This is real.
So you were in an Uber.
Yes.
And then you hit it off so much.
Yeah, she lives down the street from me.
No
way. And then
way.
She was like, we should go grab a coffee. And I went, I literally have no reason not to.
Was it just vibes? Was it just like...
Just vibes. We were having a huge laugh. I asked what she did and she went, this. And I went, thank fucking God.
Yeah.
That's, and it was so much fun.
The
coffee was so cool.
It's nice to meet.
This girl's amazing.
You got to meet new people. It's important.
I said that to her. I was like, it's just so nice to sit with, and we were sitting outside, you know what I mean? So I felt safe and whatever, vaccinated, and she's vaccinated as well. So we felt totally safe. And it was just so nice to be like a shiny new toy right in front of me. Because when you would do a show, this is all shiny new toys.
Yeah.
And I haven't had one in so long. And I was just like, this is so much fun. I don't know if I'll ever see her again. But for the time being, yes, I have one friend.
That's really cool.
Thanks.
It's important. Anna is like, no joking, like not trying to joke or anything, but like mm-hmm. you are a person with a partner. So that does, I think, slow down those experiences because you're not in an arena where you're like, well, I don't want to be alone. Like yeah, you've already kind of checked that box off.
To everybody out there that stopped trying to have sex with me, can we please pick up where we left off? Is that so DM hard? Can you address? Please DM me for my address? I'm not saying I'm going to follow through, but I'd love the pursuit. What more can I ask for?
You want what is it? Pursuit. Swooners? Is that it? A swooner?
Somebody I want people swooner? To swoon over yeah. me.
What do you call it? What do you call it when like there's like a gentleman caller? That's what I'm thinking of. Swooner works too.
Like an escort.
Would you? Would you ever?
I was one. You know what? Here's the thing. I once had a job working for a production company, a tour production company, in which I was essentially an entertainment escort.
Okay.
So I had to like wine and dine people, but
so you would show up to a dinner.
Yes, and take them out strangers. And show them a good time, get them wasted, have a laugh. So I was an entertainment escort. Now, did my boss try to arrange for me to go to Vegas and have sex with a prostitute? Yes. Did I do it? No, I was busy.
Wait, this is so much data for me.
It's a lot.
This is a lot of data. So why did
without he want, saying why it, did, he was trying to arrange it.
He was trying to arrange you to have sex with an escort, kept, a male escort or a female?
Female.
Escort.
So he that wanted, he had sex with before. There was a work trip to Vegas. He sees this woman every time he goes to Vegas.
So he just wanted you to get to have sex with this woman.
Yes.
With him not involved.
And he sent her photos of me. I he probably wanted to watch. And she was like, oh, she's
Hollywood,
attractive.
This is when you first came to LA?
No. This was like 5 years ago. No, six years
okay,
ago.
Okay.
A couple of years back.
This is wild.
Yeah, I
and
know.
So, what were these
I had
men
to quit.
Like? What were these men like?
My boss?
No, the people that you were going out with and wining and dining.
Oh, they were like, you know what? They're like agents and managers. They're like, because they
were
represent
they
the talent.
Like something, it was
no.
like purely.
They never did it. No, God. Never them.
Yeah.
Never then. Okay. It's my boss trying to orchestrate stuff.
Oh, okay.
My former boss trying to orchestrate it.
This is wild.
No, the guy, because there'd be women as well. So nobody ever made some sort of a move or something
yeah,
like that.
You were just there to be like a lively light in
that's
the room.
That's it. I was just there to entertain.
Yeah.
But then he definitely like wanted, you know, I mean, he used to call me wasted at night and oh, God.
Awful.
It was fucked up, dude.
Awful.
It was messed up.
That's really, I'm sorry, but
it
you
really,
know.
You know what?
Hey, can
it
I say
sucks.
It? Can I say it?
Say it.
That's LA, baby.
Ah! I'm puking. Oh my God, I'm horrified.
Sorry, dude.
Horrified.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Wow, Jacob.
I mean,
welcome.
You're well rounded. That's how you know. See, I'm from here. I did that shit when I was 7.
So you.
I would put on a little
when
suit.
When you were.
And I would go to nightclubs.
You'd go, and then.
Or the Whiskey Go Go, you know, different places.
You'd make arrangements mm-hmm. for a prostitute in Vegas. And here's the thing, she was attractive. I'm not saying she wasn't.
No.
I just didn't see how it was related to work.
It's not. It's just like some weird thing. That's one of the most weird things ever.
She wasn't even a client.
To me, it feels like a hook. It's like. It's a double up where it's like, if she says yes, then I have to figure out how I get in the mix. So, but he needed the yes first. He needed
he
the just like, she's down for this.
If I had gone on that trip, which was a work trip, if I had gone, shit would have gone down. If I'd gone on the trip.
Thank God you didn't go down.
Can you imagine?
No, I don't want to.
And I
don't
already,
make me.
Like,
don't make me.
Listen, I used to work a job where I got paid in pearls. I've already been caught up in enough scandal
okay.
as is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think about this a lot. Los Angeles is a city with billions of dollars to be made.
Oh, God, so much.
I foolishly have chosen to focus on one avenue of revenue that the city has to offer.
This podcast.
But I've never thought about getting paid in pearls.
Oh, no, that was in Chicago. Now that's a pearl paying
like
city.
You're making me look like an idiot.
Hey, that's LA, baby.
Gotta learn eventually.
Disgusting.
I hate that you got paid in pearls.
I have a necklace to show for it.
Yeah. I was working on a food truck over the pandemic.
Really?
Yeah, I was working on a Jamaican food truck.
Jamaican patty? Roti?
No, it wasn't Jamaican patty. It was like jerk chicken and like tri-tip and barbecue ribs. And like it was like Jamaican soul food, essentially.
Okay, great.
What a gig. You know?
Dude, big Jamaican population in Toronto. Lots of delicious Jamaican food that you can eat. Yeah. Just amazing food.
I was very lucky to be able to like learn how to make the food and sort of get like thrown into the, it was like family run. It's like friends of my family and like a huge educational little zone. Sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you got to hustle. Everybody gets a weird gig here and there, you know?
Yeah, dude. And why not? Honestly, it makes for a good story. Like, half of why I stay in terrible situations is because I'm like, I know this is going to end in a really funny way 5 years from now.
Oh, my God. I mean,
you know what
like,
I mean?
I like to do stuff alone.
Mm-hmm. I just gave him a thumbs up.
Good.
Massive thumbs up.
The stuff that energizes me, I tend to do alone because I can control the environment, just like you.
Here we go.
Which is good because I get to recharge, but ultimately, like, can tend to lean lonely, but I don't know how else to do it. But I do find myself, like, I often put myself in situations where I'm like, yeah, this is like, 1 out of 4 gonna get nutty.
Yeah. You know?
And sometimes I go and it's just like a normal experience and it's fine and it was exactly what I expected and it was just like it was just a sound bath with a Reiki healer. And then other times you're like, oh, this woman wants me to smoke DMT in her den. And that's like that's why you go and have these experiences. That's why you stick around a little longer than you should.
Well, this
just to see what happens. Like, I want to see what happens. I'm curious.
When I first moved here, I went to this laundromat, and this guy named David, like, one of the dryers wasn't working, and he was helping me to fix it. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh, you got to do this. Like, and he was helping other people. And then I was like, waiting for it to dry, and he's like, you got anything going on? I was like, no. And he's like, okay, great. Come on over. And I was like, okay. So I went to his house across, which was a crack den. Took me a second to figure it out.
Yeah, a bit of a
trap.
And
then I was like, oh, this is a bad situation, Elena. I still stayed for an additional 20 minutes until the laundry was done. And then when I left.
God, we're very simple.
I went back.
Yeah.
And the woman told me he does not work there and he tries to deal drugs out of the dryers.
Yeah.
And that's why he knows how to fix them.
Oh, wow. I got to make these work if I'm going to sell drugs out of them. That completely tracks.
But because he uses the dryers so much and he's there all the time.
But did you feel safe? There's that level of sketchiness that you're like.
In the beginning, I did. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then when there was other people in the house, I was like, get out.
Got it.
Because there was other people. Him, I felt I could control. I was like, no problem. And I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh no, this is like, it's actually not okay now because I'm outnumbered. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just like, I stall for a second because I wonder like, what is it really about those environments that's attractive to us?
Here's the thing. I love to charm and I love to control and I love an adventure that I create.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody's like, join my adventure, I'm like, best of luck. But if it's like, oh, I can get a good story out of this and then tell it one day, I'll follow through. And curiosity. This is what we are as comics. We're curious.
We have to take in data, right?
Like, character study.
That's kind of what I'm getting into, where it's like, I want to be in weirder circles. I know what a dude at a bar ordering a drink is like. I know how to play him. I know how to tell his story. I want to fucking like go to some place where I'm meeting a guy named Cheetah who's like saying, I'm on the most glorious 4 hits of acid I've ever had.
And you're like, let's follow through.
I know Cheetah. And I'm going to hang with Cheetah all night. I'm going to do whippets with Cheetah.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
We're going to be bad. And it's me and Cheetah. But then I'll have Cheetah for the rest of my life.
But here's the thing. This is why I think the last year and a half has been so tough.
There's no Cheetah.
There's no Cheetah, dude. I need a story. I need one.
You want to participate in the narrative and maybe control it
if that's possible. Control it, because then it'll pan out my way, which is always going to be better.
But I mean, how tantalizing is the data that is like how people interact in a Zoom room?
Right.
It's pretty limited to observation and then churning that out into a statement.
Yeah.
It's super, there's no story there. It's just like,
you know what? Actually, this is totally bringing it back. This is great. As we wrap up, to bring it back to the friendships that we were talking about and the problems and hearing problems. I'm it's kind of hitting me right now. I feel like half the reason why I listen and I take it in and kind of encourage people to talk as well is so that there's a story for me to report or to talk about or to whatever. And what can I get out of this? Because there's so little crumbs in my own life right now. If a lot of it is bad, I don't want to focus on that. I'm not like, here's a funny story about my grandmother that had a stroke. It's like, no, that, you know what I mean?
No, that's a huge realization. That's good.
And I feel like literally in this moment, I'm like, oh, that's why I'm fucking doing it. Because I'm like, it is kind of benefiting me as well. So I guess it is a bit of a win-win. I might not be speaking as much, but I am kind of getting some stuff out of it that's more than I had going in.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a huge thing to recognize in yourself. And if you, you know, if you need your cheetahs and you need those experiences, like, you know that about yourself, and you're going to be able to chase it.
I mean, I guess to sum it all up to my friends, it's if you're not dealing shit out of a dryer, don't tell me.
Boring. I don't want to hang out with you. I'm bored by them.
Jacob.
Yes.
You started this podcast today at around an 8, 8.5 because you accomplished quite a bit. How do you feel having accomplished this podcast and finishing this task?
When I get home, I'll feel a 9, 9.5 because I've also finished another bike ride.
I was just about to say because you biked here.
Yeah. And I got chicken tikka and thawing in the fridge.
We're laughing. Yeah. Can you hear how hysterical I am right now? Jacob,
yes.
One thing. Sure. The overall has been a 3-4, as you had said. So here's a bit of a call to action. I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
What do you think in this moment is one small thing you could add to your day that might help that overall feeling? Something that would be for you to make you feel good? Like, it's something small.
I mean, that's the question that I ask myself all of the time.
Okay, do you want to know one of mine?
Yes.
I like to have a morning smoothie because then I feel good that I had a bunch of fruits and some spinach.
That's huge.
So that's like the smallest thing I had to make a change was have, instead of my egg and toast, if I want that for lunch, I will. I'm going to have the morning smoothie.
That's great.
So what would be, if I had to give you the challenge, what do you think off the top of your head, if you have one, could be a small change? Do you drink coffee?
I do drink coffee.
Do you drink a lot?
No. I have like a half a cup to a cup a day.
Oh, that's great. Good for you.
What can I do? I don't know. I feel pretty strapped.
Yeah?
No, there's got to be something.
Do you go to bed late?
No.
What time do you wake up?
I wake up at like 7:38 and then I like lounge for a little bit.
You're literally the most reasonable person I know. Okay, I've got the challenge for you.
Yeah, give me the challenge.
Here's the challenge, and I want you to do this tomorrow morning and report back to me, and when Norm and I record the intro, I'll let everybody know. Humor me, have a morning smoothie tomorrow.
Okay.
And let me know if you feel any different.
Great. I got some berries. I'll blend
them. Have the morning smoothie and just let me know if you feel any different.
Okay.
Whether it's the smoothie itself or the idea that somebody pushed you to do something and see if you're going to do it. But Norm and I record these intros a couple days later and I will report back.
I'll have a smoothie. And I guess
I would love that.
If I had to add one out of the narcissistic control that I need, I'll try and catch some more sunsets. You know, I was doing really good at the beginning of the year and then I kind of fell off because they're later in the day. I'll try and catch a couple.
Oh my God. No, kick out the smoothie. Go for the sunset.
Why not?
Massive challenge for the week. Okay, Jacob, where can we find you online if you're posting things or when these imaginary shows finally come back?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jacob Wysocki. That's where I'm at. It's got all my data. Thank you for having me. I love you very much. You're a dear friend. What a treat to talk to you.
Oh my God, Jacob. Way to wrap up the podcast perfectly.
your problems are not a burden, and I was happy to hear them. So don't feel bad about it.
Oh my God. If you guys want to follow the podcast, we're at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to follow me and my problems, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. Jacob, I'm holding my head, you guys, because you've made me like so happy. Stick around. I'll give you half a cup of coffee, I swear.
Okay, good.
Okay, great. And to the rest of you, get bent.
Bye.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the
Self-Esteem Party.